Randy Overbeck joins me tonight by phone. He's had a career as a teacher and a school leader for several decades. Having been published in trade journals and newspapers, he decided to bring his skills to writing novels. His first novel, Leave No Child Behind, won the 2011 Silver Award for Thriller of the Year from readersfavorite.com. Tonight, we're going to talk about his second novel, Blood on the Chesapeake, and it is the first in a new series called The Haunted Shores Mysteries. Randy, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
I'm delighted to be here.
When we first meet your protagonist, Daryl Henshaw, he has left his Midwest home and a failed relationship behind, and he's moved to the eastern shore of Chesapeake Bay to begin a new job as a teacher and a coach. However, right from the start, something ominous is triggered in him as the high school secretary shows him around the campus. So set us up right from the beginning what he feels coming from his past.
Well, Daryl has a particular gift of which he's not happy, and that is he sees people on the other side. He sees ghosts. He had had a complicated and tragic encounter with a ghost several years earlier back at home. And much to his chagrin, when he tries to start over, he finds on his very first day, in fact, his first interview, that the ghost makes an appearance to him pleading for some help.
And how does the ghost present? What does he look like?
The ghost is extremely unusual. Daryl is a Midwestern guy out of Michigan, kind of a typical 25-year-old. And when he looks up and sees this ghost, he sees what appears to be an almost naked, huge black man standing three stories above him up on this widow's walk. Of course, first he hopes he's seeing things, but eventually he realizes after a couple appearances that this is a ghost of a young man that he learns later was supposed to have committed suicide at the school near his office. Only he suspects that there's more question than that in the ghost's death.
So fortunately for Daryl, he has some friends that he makes pretty early on in this new setting. There's the band director, and then there's also a romantic relationship that starts to bloom. So tell us about Al and Aaron.
Daryl is very fortunate in the sense that when he arrives at this new town, new school, new area, he's befriended by a long-term resident teacher at the school, a wisecracking teacher who's the band director. The two become very good friends, even though they're separated by a generation. Al's wife, who is a nurse, introduces Daryl to another nurse who becomes Daryl's girlfriend, a gal by the name of Erin McCavany, who happens to be a local, so provides Daryl with some insight into the background and what the culture is like in that particular part of the country.
I am interested to know if you did research on ghosts for writing Blood on the Chesapeake.
I did. One of the characteristics that I carried over from my work as an educational leader to my work as a fiction writer is that I was always a very huge proponent on research. All the aspects of this book went through extensive research. I did do a considerable amount of research, meeting with those who have scientifically studied the aspects of ghosts and have worked really hard to try to represent what happens from a ghost point of view from an authentic manner as I could, given what I have learned from those people who know a whole lot more than I do.
I'm also curious about why you chose the mystery genre and where a mystery begins for you. Is it with a crime? Is it with a solution? Is it with the character?
The book is actually about how a community treats its individuals, especially from a discrimination point of view. So it started with that kind of kernel of that particular situation. And then I went from there to trying to find a crime that would fit that location. I did a great deal of research on lynchings. I found that a very common trait was that even though they had been done in many places and had been witnessed by sometimes hundreds of people, communities would cover that up and no one would agree to having been there, and they would invent some other way that the individuals had died, such as suicide. So I used that kernel of research to build this fictional story around this tragic death of this young man 30-some years earlier.
Well, I want to thank you for showing us that important message, time from history, certainly, and for wrapping it all up neatly and for visiting with us tonight. Thanks so much.
I really appreciate the opportunity to share with your listeners this story, and I hope they enjoy it.
I've been talking with Randy Overbeck about his latest novel, Blood on the Chesapeake, about which you'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.